Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Hello and welcome to Bible Truth for Living. This is Pastor Tim Reynolds. Thank you so much for listening today. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 9 in just a moment. A couple of reminders. First of all, if you're listening by radio today, it's May the 5th, and today we invite you to our services at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple and Waltonville Community Church. We begin every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in Mount Vernon with fellowship time and breakfast in the cafeteria, followed with Sunday school classes for all ages. And then I'll be preaching in the 10 o'clock service this morning, and then at 11:15 out at Waltonville Community Church. If you don't have a home church, we invite you to come and be with us. At Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, we also have a 6 o'clock evening service on Sundays and 6 o'clock Bible study on Wednesday nights. And then next Sunday, which is May the 12th, will be Mother's Day. So we invite you to bring the special ladies in your life. We're going to honor all of the ladies with a special gift. We're also planning to put a slideshow video together of pictures of mothers in our churches or mothers of our folks that attend church. And so we're looking forward to that. And so Mother's Day, and then on Sunday, May the 19th, we are going to have a special Stand for Israel Sunday, and I'll be sharing a message regarding the nation of Israel, the state of current affairs there in the Middle East. And then my good friend, Pastor Rodney Malott, is going to come Sunday night on May the 19th and share some things regarding Israel as well. So we invite you to those services. And then coming up in June, this is a little farther out, but coming up on Saturday, June the 22nd, we are going to have a community-wide prayer walk in the park. We invite you to take part in that. It'll be at 10 o'clock in the morning. We're going to gather together. We'll have prayer lists for everyone, and then we encourage you to walk the perimeter of the Mount Vernon City Park. If you want to bring friends or family or maybe a church group and be a part of that, good way to get some exercise and pray for our city and for our nation. And we'll have a list of things you can take with you as you walk and pray. And so those things are all coming up. We encourage you to be a part of that. Today's message I've titled Days of Disruption. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 16. The Bible says, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." We have three areas there we're going to cover today. In verse 16, you have the leaders and the led, and then in verse 17, we see the Lord. We're going to talk about these things today. Now, in the last 2 or 3 weeks especially, we have watched as, in particularly young people in urban areas and on college campuses, as they have protested the war in Gaza. Now, they're not just protesting the war. You know, you had that taking place back in the 1960s and 70s. But they're really anti-Semitic chants and anti-Semitic slogans. They are chanting things like "Free Palestine" and "From the River to the Sea, Palestine will be free." I thought it was interesting. One reporter asked a young lady what river and what sea she was referring to, and the young lady had to admit she had no idea. That is the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea, and when you see that on a map, that takes up the entire state of Israel. And so what really these chants are saying is we want to annihilate, do away with the state of Israel and the Jewish people. Many of these protesters are between the ages of 18 and 25 and have very little knowledge of Middle Eastern history and affairs, what's actually taking place. If they did, they would realize that Palestine is not and has never been a nation. The area got its name from the Roman Empire. They called it Palestine. And those people that are living in that area today are made up of a lot of different nationalities, all right? So, you know, I don't think that people fully comprehend even what is taking place over there unless you've at least visited, let alone live there and be a part of it. In fact, many of the young people who are protesting today would probably be imprisoned giving the immoral lifestyle they live because it would not match up with the way that they are taught in the Middle East and a lot of these countries. They wouldn't even be allowed to do some of these things. So they ought to be grateful they live in America. And by the way, it's okay to protest, but these are not protesters. They are pro-terrorists. You know, when you say things like, I am Hamas, that's not a good thing because we know what Hamas did back in October of last year. In fact, many of these are not even students at the universities where the protests are taking place. They are organized. They are very well funded. Now, some of them are being bussed in. The tents that you see them in, where are those tents coming from? Where is the money coming from? Well, it's coming from a lot of different anti-American sources and an almost demonic hatred for the nation of Israel. They say there has been a 300% increase in anti-Semitism just in the past couple of years around the world. Now, the frightening thing is that these protesters are our future professors and politicians and media moguls and business leaders one of these days, especially those who are attending the Ivy League schools. Now, I'm with Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who said the so-called protesters who are doing this, they're going beyond protesting, they are pro-terrorists, they ought to be put in jail. If they are students and they are spouting hate-filled, anti-Semitic things at a public college or university, they should be expelled. I would add, if they are not American citizens and they will not pledge allegiance to America, this nation that myself and many others have fought for and have been in the military for, some have bled and died, you've lost family members protecting our freedom. If they don't want to pledge allegiance to this country, then I would say deport them. Find another place to live where you would be happy. The truth is, they want all the benefits of this country, but yet protest against it, and you can't have it both ways. Now, the question is, how did we get here? It didn't happen overnight. I believe it has been a process, and we're going to talk about that today. Now, the prophet Isaiah, who we read from there in Isaiah chapter 9, and Jeremiah both addressed the nation of Judah. Judah had gotten way out in left field away from God. And these two prophets kept telling them, hey, you need to get back. There's problems here. You need to get back to God. And eventually it was too late and Judah would go into Babylonian captivity. But although these things were primarily for Judah, the principles, I believe, still apply to us today. First of all, notice the leaders. Now, Isaiah says in Isaiah 9 and verse 16, for the leaders of this people cause them to err. The leaders. Leadership expert John Maxwell said, everything rises and falls on leadership. And that's true. Now, I believe there are four areas of leadership that is failing today that is producing what we are seeing, especially on our college campuses. Number one would be permissive parenting. Permissive parenting. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 12 says, as for my people, children are their oppressors. In other words, the children were the ones who were creating the problems. Now, if the children were the ones that were the oppressors, where were the parents? Why were the children the one in charge? And sad to say, in America, in many homes, the children are in charge. Some of these young people on these campuses have been spoiled children. They've been allowed to behave this way. You know, parents will foolishly say, well, I'll let my child think for himself or think for herself. Well, that's foolish. Why? Because they won't think for themselves. They're going to think like somebody. whether that is the entertainment industry or a friend or an internet influencer or the media or a professor or a teacher, all of these are vying for the minds of our children. And as parents, we have the responsibility to share with them, here's what God says. Here's what the Bible says is right and what is wrong. Now, you know, you say, well, how do you control a child that's no longer in the house and they're too old to really put under your thumb? Well, you know what? They do begin to make their own choices at that time, but you don't have to finance it. You know, if I had a child at the Ivy League schools, I would wonder, why aren't you in class? How do you have all this time to protest? You should be studying. You should be in class. If you cut off the financing, you might see things change just a little bit. Shut off those cell phones. You know, if you don't want to go to class, if you want to spend your time protesting, shut the phone off. That would solve a lot of the problem right there. But permissive parenting has brought us to where we are in America today. Another one, the second one, I call puny pastors. Puny pastors. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's see what Jeremiah says. Now, whenever I say Isaiah and Jeremiah, they are prophets. Really, they're saying what God has told them to say. Here's what it is. Verse 8 of Jeremiah 2. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. That would be those that knew the word of God. They didn't even know God. And the pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, that's a false god, and walked after things that do not profit. In that one verse, you have priests and pastors and prophets. And God says none of them speak or walk after things that profit anything. Much of the preaching today in our pulpits doesn't profit a whole lot. You know, we tell people today, here are 5 ways to be a happy person or 10 secrets to success. Now, a little bit of that is tolerable. But if church is more like a concert and a feel-good thing than conviction and preaching about hell and judgment and the blood of Jesus Christ and sin like abortion and homosexuality and adultery and these things, and none of that is ever addressed, there's a problem there. What is the problem? Well, it's a puny pastor producing puny people in puny pews. They may be packed, but they're puny. And so we need to make sure that the pastors are preaching the word of God, not something that just tickles the ears or feels good. You know, sometimes preaching doesn't make you feel good. It brings conviction. The old timers used to say, I got my toes stepped on today. Sometimes preaching does that, and it should do that. Now, I'm not going overboard and saying it ought to be every time, every week, hellfire and brimstone, but if it's never addressed, if things in our culture are just never addressed, never talked about, and it's just make everybody feel good and comfortable, boy, that really brings a sad state of affairs to the church. And so we have the permissive parenting, the puny pastors. Number 3, partisan professors. Partisan professors. Isaiah 43 and verse 27 says, thy first father has sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Now, not all teachers and professors are liberal, but the majority of them are. The majority of them, especially in the schools that are the upper echelon Ivy League schools, they are much more liberal and secular in their teaching than conservative. I mean, statistics prove that. Those who are teaching and are professors in these colleges and universities today, many of them are the next generation after the free love, anti-war, anti-American sentiment of the 1960s. And so now they have infiltrated academia with their partisan views. They are against capitalism and patriotism, and they promote ideas like socialism, communism, and Marxism. You know, back in the 1980s and 90s, America fooled itself into thinking we won the Cold War. You know, I don't think so. I think it just shifted from challenging one another regarding nuclear missiles and those sort of things, and reintroduced lodged itself into the hallways and classrooms of our schools and universities. The vast majority of them are liberal, and these partisan professors are teaching young people to be anti-American. Again, I'm not painting with a broad brush and saying they are all that way, but boy, that's why you see a lot of this taking place in America today. And then number four, the fourth level of leadership, is placating politicians. Placating politicians, that is, doing anything that people want or whatever it takes to get a vote. All right. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers," those that are in government positions there in Judah, he says, "the seers hath he covered." You know, we are so divided politically today that you have to wonder if we'll ever get it back into balance. You know, it used to be you'd have Democrats and Republicans, but at least they could get on the same page in some areas. Now we're just so deeply divided, and it's say anything to get a vote. That's a placating politician. Now, again, I'm not going to paint with a broad brush and say all politicians are that way. All teachers are not that way. All parents are not, like I've been talking about. All pastors are not. But, you know, whenever you allow people to say, you know, you don't have to pay your student loan back, you just borrow money. And, you know, we've given out now more than $4 billion in forgiveness of student loans. Well, that has to be made up somewhere. Who makes up that money? If that is not being paid back by students, that falls on the burden of people going to work every day. Listen, we can't be so many trillions of dollars in debt as a nation and those cards eventually not fall. You know, we keep raising the debt ceiling and we'll just keep on going in more debt and more debt. Somewhere along the line, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren are going to have to pay the bill. Alexander Fraser Tytler said this back in the 1800s, "A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury." It is destroying the work ethic in America. The money that has been doled out, especially from COVID on, has created a vacuum where it's hard for employers to find good employees that will stay with a job and that will work. I mean, you hear it all the time. And so you have these levels of leadership that has brought us to where we are today. Now, we've covered the leaders. Let's talk about the led. Back in our text of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 16, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed." Hosea 4 and verse 6, God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Not book knowledge, but knowledge of God. What about it? What about these that are being led by these leaders I've mentioned? Well, first of all, they are covered in confusion. We live in an age of confusion today. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 25 says, "We lie down in our shame and our confusion covereth us." Never have we had such a confused culture. We have religious confusion today. Pew Research found that the religious nones, that is N-O-N-E-S, those who claim no religious affiliation, are now the largest single group in the United States. People don't know what they believe anymore. Young people, they don't know about the Bible. They don't know about Bible stories. They've not been brought up with it in the home. It's not being, it's out of our schools. It's not being preached in the churches. And so now we have religious confusion. And it's like, well, I just believe whatever somebody tells me to believe, or I'll just choose something from the internet to believe. And so there is vast religious confusion. We have gender confusion today. Now, you know, the fancy term for that is gender dysphoria. And so now we have children as young as 7 years old up through the teenage years who are confused about their gender. How in the world did we get here? Well, because we have allowed these leaders to create this problem. And now the led, let's not blame the young people. They're just living out the poor leadership that has been demonstrated for them. And it has created a covering of confusion. And then, secondly, they are held without hope. Jeremiah 18, verses 11 and 12. God says, "Now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return you now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart." You see, that's interesting. They recognize there is no hope. You see, the people in those days were hopeless, and yet they said, we're not going to change our ways. We're going to do what we want to do. We're going to behave how we want to behave. Don't tell us what to do. And yet they realized they were without hope. Beloved, we live in a hopeless society today. With all of the prosperity we have in America, the technological advances, the medical advances, we are the most hopeless society in history. Psychiatrists even report that suicide has reached epidemic proportions in the United States. Why is that? Why are people so hopeless? Nearly one in five Americans report having to use a mood-altering substance to get through every day. Now, I'm certainly not saying don't take medications. You know, if you've gone to the doctor and been prescribed something, don't misunderstand. What I am saying is that when you take God out of schools and government and the preachers aren't preaching it and you remove God from a culture, something's going to fill that vacuum. And what happens is you end up with a hopelessness, and people will reach for drugs, whether that is prescription drugs or illegal drugs. They'll reach for alcohol. They'll look for anything to try and give them some sort of coping mechanism to get through life. And so we see the leaders and we see the led. Now, what does the Lord have to say about all of this? Well, let's go back to our text. In Isaiah 9 and verse 17, "Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless." We see God's response right there. The Lord's response is that he sees what is taking place, but he doesn't like it. He's not taking joy in it. Why? Because God knows the end result of that, and eventually his judgment will come. Psalm chapter 2 is a psalm of reckoning. In Psalm 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings, the rulers of the earth, set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord." That's God, Jehovah God the Father, and against his anointed, Jesus Christ, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." In other words, don't tie us down with what God says. Don't tell me God says this in his word. Don't tell me about creation. Don't tell me about the commandments. We'll do what we want to do. And the Bible says in verse 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." Now, that's not a jolly laugh. That's not a laugh of humor. It is a laugh because God knows the consequences that are coming. "The Lord shall have them in derision or confusion. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." God is not pleased with that. The Bible says he is angry with the wicked every day. That is the Lord's response. But then I want to give you just a little bit of hope, because when we finish verse 17, back in Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible says, "For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." It's been said that God's hand is sometimes extended in anger, and it's sometimes extended in mercy, but it is always extended in love. I like Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 that says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Listen, beloved, I'm concerned for America. To preach a message like this, I take no pleasure in it, but I think truth has to be told. Have we gone too far to repent and turn around? I don't know. Perhaps we've already crossed God's deadline as a nation. I don't know the answer to that. Only God knows. I do know this, that God has forgiven in the past, and God can forgive, and God will forgive anyone who repents and turns to him. The scripture says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't know if America will repent. I don't know what it would take to bring us to that point. I do know that if an individual will repent, God will forgive him and save them. You see, that's what salvation is all about, repentance. It's saying, "God, I'm sorry. God, I'm wrong. And I believe Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he died and rose again. And I'm asking him to forgive me of my sin and save me. When you do that, you come to God on his terms. That's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love America. I've served America in the military. My brothers have. My dad did. And I'm all about the red, white, and blue and standing for our nation. And again, I wouldn't like to preach like this if it weren't the fact of we see what's going on. And I want to see America succeed. But listen, we need to be on God's side. God loves the nation of Israel. Does that mean Israel is right all the time in their political decisions and things? No, absolutely not. But they are still God's chosen earthly people. I'll be preaching about that in a couple of weeks. And so God loves them. We should as well. By the way, God will save anybody who will come to him. It doesn't matter what your affiliation is, what your nationality is. He'll save anyone at any time who will simply repent and accept Jesus Christ, his Son, as the sacrifice for sin. Well, I pray the message has been and maybe an alarming one, but one that will help us all to pray for our nation. Listen, pray for our leaders. Just because you don't like a certain party or politician, we're called to pray for all of those in authority and in leadership. Pray that they will seek the wisdom of God and they will do the right thing, and pray for our nation. I would encourage you to do that. Pray for your pastor as he stands in the gap and preaches the word of God in these days. Pray for our parents that are raising children. Pray for our teachers. Many of our Christian teachers have their hands tied in what they can teach and what they can say. We need to pray for them. And let's pray that God will forgive and heal our land. I don't know if it's too late, but I know he can do it. Amen. Well, thank you so much for listening. I pray the message again was a help to you, and I look forward to being with you at our next appointed time. Until then, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.